Investigating interactions with our surroundings and society.
Every week we discuss our experience with these interactions, how they emerge, and the impacts of these invisible forces. Hey, this is Double Space.
With Kat
and Tintin.
And we're going to talk about space, society, and what it means to be walking around on this earth the way we do. Yeah. You're listening to Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM, and we are broadcasting on the unceded Musqueam territory of the Coast Salish people. And today, me, along with
Tintin,
we're going to talk about Bjork.
Mm-hmm. Very special episode for a very special lady.
Everyone's favorite quirky Icelandic singer.
You should put in like Bjork making a sound here.
Yeah. We really do. So this entire episode is just going to be about Bjork, about her discography, her influences, who she has influenced.
Mm.
And really, I mean, she's affected our space.
Yeah.
She's affected my space.
She's affected everyone's space.
Really?
Or, like, just the context in which, like, contemporary avant-garde, like, music or whatever is, like, yeah, she's an icon, an influencer.
Yeah, she really affected, like, electronic music, and she's really, like, really a pioneer in making electronic music, like, pop music, really merging those two, and also she plays around so much with the idea of, like, using her, like, natural voice and kind of doing, like, traditional singing, as well as, you know, really being an early adopter of electronic music.
Yeah.
Just really an icon. And I'm so excited to talk about her today.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so to start it off, we're going to try to go through all of her albums. Stay tuned on Double Space.
For the very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us, tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show Pacific Pickin' on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue proudly introduces its new project, Baldwin and La Fontaine, Towards Responsible Government. With your family, friends, and classmates, learn more about the role played by those important figures in shaping Canadian government as we know it today. Visit baldwinlafontaine.ca to discover clips, documentaries, and a teaching guide. Enter the National Web Contest for a chance to win a trip for two to Toronto or a post-secondary scholarship.
And welcome back to Double Space, and today we have our very special Bjork episode. So special.
So special. So I think to start it off, we're just going to run through her discography and give a quick description of how we feel about it.
Okay.
Like quick little album reviews, and we're going to list our favorite songs. So to start us off, Bjork's very first solo album was Bjork, which she released in 1977 when she was like something like 12 years old. I listened to it, a few songs from it. It's not very good. Pretty objectively not very good.
What does it sound like? Like, is it just like a little kid like wailing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's really a lot of that. It's kind of like normal 70s pop with a child singing over it. It's not like bad if that's what you're looking for, but it doesn't quite have the complexities that future Bjork has.
So this was between her, like, she was a kid and then she was in the Sugar Cubes and then she was Bjork on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, like, she was like a kid, or no, she was a kid, and then she was in the Sugar Cubes, and then this was after, I think she was in the Sugar Cubes, or she was like
12.
Maybe I don't have any.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, this album is incredibly unforgettable.
It's unforgettable?
Non-unforgettable. It's incredibly non-unforgettable. Let's just put it that way. Okay, moving on. Do you have anything to add?
I've never heard it. It was released in 1977, so I can only imagine what it might sound like. Yep.
It's really not that. It's unmentionable.
Okay.
However, the next album debut is completely the opposite of non-unforgettable.
So it's memorable.
It's memorable, exactly. It's very memorable. She releases debut almost 20 years after her first album, Bjork. And at this point, she's 28 years old, so she's had some time to grow and to kind of foster her sound. I think it contains all bops, and really, what you need to know about Bjork is in this album. Like, what you need to know about where she's coming from, like, she's experimental in this album, but also very poppy, and it's very, like, there's so many fun and good songs that are just, like, so conducive to her mood and tone and like her personal truths that it's a great first album to listen to know Bjork, and it's great that she starts with it, really.
Yeah, I think it's like a really good alternative pop album. I think it's like pretty accessible too, which is like really nice.
Yeah,
because I feel like when people like hear about Bjork, they're like, oh, she's so like freaking weird and like her voice is so strange and stuff, but I feel like the production on this album is pretty like there's still like the synths and like the hi-hats and like stuff like that, so it's like really like the production is actually quite poppy, so it's like really nice because it complements like her voice in a more like easy listening kind of way, so to speak. Yeah, I really like it. That was a good album.
Yeah, it's definitely the most successful. That's a good way to put it. So my favorite song is Human Behavior. That's really the song that I listened to first that was like, that got me like, what the heck is this? And then I listened to it more and now I love it. But a close second is Venus as a Boy. I think it's really the perfect pop song.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It's very cute. So my favorite song on that album is Big Time Sensuality. That one I like a lot because it's just like, there's a really like pushing like percussion beat on it. It's like really like, I don't know, it's kind of like clubby almost. It's really fun. But I also really like Aeroplane because I really like the jazz influence in that one. Probably close second, maybe even, I don't know, depends on how I'm feeling that day.
Also the music videos and all those are great. They're really varied. Human Behavior is super different than Big Time Sensuality in terms of music video, but I mean, that's going to be a recurring theme with Bjork, is her amazing music videos.
Yeah, can't put her in a box.
No, certainly not. So the next album is Post, which was released in 1995, which was 2 years later. It's very electronic with drums, and there are a lot of songs to me that aren't super memorable, but the ones that I do like off that album, I really like. That's how I feel. My favorite song off of it is I Miss You, especially with the music video in mind. They got like, who did Ren and Stimpy, which is just like the weird 90s cartoon, but his animation is really great.
Oh, cool.
The video is cool, and possibly maybe is a close second because it's so heartwarming.
I feel like I never really connected with Post that much. I feel like I can list like two songs that are definitely on it, like Hyper Ballad and It's Oh So Quiet. I forget that my favorite song on this album is on this album. I like possibly maybe the best on this album for sure. But yeah, I never really like connected with it for some reason. And I know that it's like, people like say that this is like one of her best albums, so I feel like I'm maybe just missing something. Maybe they'll listen to it more.
I disagree that it's one of her best albums. I was was, in preparation for this, I was looking at the Wikipedia pages of pretty much every album that she's made, and it showed all the reviews in the corner, and pretty much all of her albums, it was like, everyone agreed it was 5 stars, except one person gave it, like, 6.2 out of 10.
Oh, like, for Post?
With, like, all the albums, you know? And it always changed, so it's like... I don't know. I feel like Bjork really goes in a lot of directions, and I think that the idea of like Bjork is so different to different people.
Yeah, and it just like speaks to her taking so many risks, and like they might not pay off for some people, and they might pay off for other people. Like, it's really hard to tell.
So, you know, professional music critics, air quotes, I don't know what they have to say.
I don't trust them.
So, the next album is Homogenic in 1997. It's just freaking cool.
Yeah, it's my favorite Bjork album, actually.
It's very heavy. And music video-wise, which is one of my favorite lenses to like examine Bjork under, her music videos start to use more digital editing.
Oh, cool.
And my favorite song is All Is Full of Love. Particularly her live versions are so beautiful.
I also really like that song. I think like every single song on this album is good. Like I can't think of one that I dislike. There's this one song, I think it's called Pluto, the one where she's like screaming in it the whole time. I really like that song too, even weirdly enough. But I really like, my favorite song on this album is Yoga? Is that how you pronounce it? J-O with like an apostrophe G-A?
Probably. That sounds closer than, I feel like yoga or something. Sounds closer than yoga.
Yeah. Probably.
Because she's Icelandic.
Right. Yeah, I don't speak Icelandic. And then what else? Oh, I also really like Alarm Call. But I think that like this album is really cool to me, especially because like she has a really liberal use of strings. And it sounds like she uses like a full orchestral suite in certain songs. And I also really like the lyrics in a lot of them. Bachelorette comes to mind actually, because she opens the song with this line. It's like, I'm a pool of blood in the shape of a girl. And that's like one of my favorite Bjork lines.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's cool. But yeah, just like such a good album in general. It came out the year that I was born. So that must mean something.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Great album.
All right, moving on. We reached the 2000s, 2001. Vespertine. She plays with a lot of orchestral sounds a lot, but also a lot of electronic looping, which is a really cool effect, and she just really dives into it. And it's a very like tender and vulnerable album, but there's also a lot of subtleties. Like the looping is something that might not be noticed right away, but a really close listening like makes it very clear that she has these really intricate loops. And I mean, it feels like you can see so much growth within her as she's starting to kind of like learn how to use all these electronic equipments. And from the music video point of view, there's a lot of nudity and a lot of black and white, which is of course indicative of like a solemn tone, and she's very exposed and very vulnerable, and it was really like, I don't know, really a statement to be that bold. And my favorite song is An Echo, A Stain, and I also like Sun in My Mouth, which kind of sounds like a biophilia track.
So I heard this album for the first time when I was in a bar, and I'd never heard of this album before. Like, I didn't even know that she released Vespertine, and I was like, what is this album? I've never heard it. Which Bjork one is this? And then the guy told me what it was, because they're just playing it from, like, beginning to end, weirdly enough. That's my introduction to it. I don't know it very well, but I really like the string parts on this one as well. It kind of, like, seems like a good progression from Homogenic. But I feel like I don't know this one particularly well. I know this is the year that Bjork wore the, like, swan dress. That's all I really associate this album with, I think. But I really like Pagan Poetry. That's my favorite song on this album, though.
On the swan dress, I feel like when I told everyone I was going to be Bjork for Halloween, they were like, oh, with the swan dress? And I was like, no, Like, I don't know. It's like odd to me that that's like people's idea of Bjork.
I think it's like just really, I don't know, it's kind of indicative of, like, I think it's the most, like, accessible, like, kind of version of Bjork. Like, she,
yeah.
Even, like, people were like, oh my god, she's wearing, like, the swan dress, and, like, she, like laid an egg or something, or, I don't know, she probably did. I don't
Why
know
not?
That's true. Why not, yeah. Yeah, I feel like Bjork has a lot of iconic looks that might not necessarily be the one that I think of when I first think of it, though.
Yeah, I know. I was really, like, tripped up. I was like, oh, well, maybe I should wear a swan dress, but...
She's like a woman who wears masks. When I think of Bjork, I think of face paint and masks.
Yeah, I went for the masks. You gotta go bright. But anyway, moving on to Medulla. I feel like there's something lacking when Bjork is without. But at the same time, I feel like this was another, like, study album where she was kind of, like, studying the human voice and the capabilities of the human voice. And she probably learned a lot from it. It was really useful for her. Not my favorite, but I think for her as an artist, a useful thing to have made. And still, of course, an amazing product, and I still like it. I think Triumph of the Heart, which is the last song in the album, is pretty much the thesis to the idea of, like, what she's studying. Because she really mixes all these different sounds, all these different interactions with people, especially considering the, like, music video elongated form. The album is really positive, which is kind of interesting. It almost feels, like, naively hopeful. That's what I got from it, which is kind of interesting compared to, like, vulnerable, sad Bjork. And my favorite song is Who Is It?
See, I don't know very much about this one. I think I usually skip it whenever it comes on because I don't really like the acapella thing. Like, it didn't really work for me. I love Bjork's voice. I think that what really, like, cuts it well is, like, electronic music and, like, other instruments. I feel like when more voices are added on to her voice, it's just, like, a really scary, like, ASMR video. I, like, not to, no, like, disrespect, obviously, but, like, it just didn't, I wasn't my favorite album.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I pretty much agreed. I just was very delicate and more wordy, but I agree.
And then the next album that she released is called Volta. Also, have not heard this album, so I'm gonna let you take the reins on this one.
So, listening to it a bit, I felt like it was another research album, almost the reverse of Medulla. So, you know, Medulla being, like, the vocal study, this is the electronic, like, hip-hop study.
Can we talk about the album art, though, for this? I always forget how freaking weird it is. If you don't know what it looks like, it's, like, her, Bjork, like, photoshopped into, like, this costume with, like, it's like a gourd with, like, feet.
She looks like a Christmas ornament.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, but I just, like, it's just kind of funny.
And it's, anyway, like, bright red. Yeah, I mean, definitely a stark difference between, like, the Medulla cover, which is pretty much black and white, to this really bright one. So I feel like Medulla and Volta are both, again, like, study albums where she's, like, studying this one thing that she's interested, really focusing on it and kind of using it to progress her craft, but also, you know, give us, the masses, this, like, beautiful gift unto her, which is, like, what she's been working on. So, yeah, she has a lot of hip-hop influence on this album. She let Timbaland...
Oh, sick.
Yeah, he's on it, and he did the primary producing on one of the tracks, which, again, looking through the Wikipedias, she's usually the first one listed as a producer on the track.
Wow, you know, you've done your research.
I've done my research. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a Bjork expert, quite frankly, but... Anyway, Timbaland was the primary producer, which, I mean, to me shows a lot of trust, that she's, like, trusting this person who is, like, a tested, known master.
Do you trust Timbaland?
I trust him with my life and soul. Here's the thing. I feel like when we were, like, younger, it was like, oh, who's Timbaland? Oh, he's that guy from, like, Carry Out or whatever with, like, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He bops. Like, okay. He I just find myself going back to like 90s and early 2000s R&B, and I'm always like, oh my god, like this beat is so good and it's so interesting, and I look back and it's Timbaland.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I haven't actually listened to Volta, but I definitely will.
Yes, it's good. It's a good one. And there's also a lot of themes about nature, which is kind of interesting with like an electronic hip-hop-y album also relating with nature, but Bjork makes it work, as always. It's almost kind of like the beginning of like her idea for biophilia is this study into like talking about nature. In Volta, she seems kind of like separating herself from her main subject. The song Declare Independence is really banky. It's like, don't let them do that to you. And the music video is her with like a megaphone, and there's just people with like things over their like eyes. It's really like,
sounds pretty banky to me.
I don't know how to like describe banky to like,
oh, the unaware
the listeners.
I guess like what banky, okay, if I could describe what banky means to me, at least, it's like how Banksy is always like, wake up, sheeple,
yeah,
like, open your eyes, read a book, or something like that.
But to the point that it's cliche is when it's banky. When it's like, this isn't even a good statement. Like, oh, people should be off their phones. Like,
oh, it's like, they try to be really profound, but it's like, it like kind of backfires and it becomes like hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Declare Independence, as much as we love Bjork. Also, an interesting fact, the Wanderlust music video was shot in 3D, which is Bjork's first foray into 3D, from what I could tell. And my favorite song is Vertebrae by Vertebrae, which is savage. She's just like, ah! I mean, she always is, but, you know. And this video is, it just feeds right into biophilia. I thought it was on biophilia for the longest time, and it sounds like it a lot. And it's also produced by Damian Taylor, who produced biophilia.
Wow.
And that's all I have to say about Volta. And here we go for biophilia. If you thought I had a lot to say about Volta, you better sit tight. I think that this is one of the most complete and fully conceptualized album ever, like of all albums in the world, and I'll fight anyone who disagrees, because oh god, it's just like the sound is the same throughout, and it's like the idea of what she was trying to say is like so clear throughout the entire thing, and she's always focused and really like keeping on message. And to me, what the message is, I mean, it's all about nature and the drama and tribulations of nature and how it's similar to ours, and sort of finding solutions and similarities within nature and the world itself.
I, again, have not listened to this album, so I have less of an expansive knowledge. See, obviously, like, Kat here is the Bjork expert. I'm just, like, a Bjork, disciple. I'm not up there yet.
Oh, yeah, right. Here's the thing. We realized as we were studying, or as we were comparing our notes, that Tintin knows a lot more about the middle albums and, like, earlier albums, and I know more about the later albums. We've just entered into my realm.
True. This is true. I'm on the Bjork Wikipedia page for biophilia, and so this is apparently according to the album liner notes and Bjork.com, but apparently in this album, Bjork played a Tesla coil bass line. I don't know what this means. I'm gonna assume that she didn't actually play, like, a Tesla coil. No, she really did. Okay, so it's a Tesla coil. Like, it's, like, that electric thing that, like, makes, like, wow, what the hell? What is that?
It's an amazing album. And, I mean, okay, back into my rant about this album. Every song warms me, and all the instruments work so perfectly with her voice. There's so much cohesion. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite part, is that it just really is, like, symbiotic, her and the instruments. And, like, it's, like, her work in Medulla and Volta, like, come together and merge in this really, like, natural-sounding biophilia. And all the music videos are totally cohesive. They use the same color scheme, which is amazing. And they look like they exist in the same planet. And also, she made an app because,
why not?
Of course, she made an application for, I think it was like iPad and iPhone. Why not?
Wow, she was really on it then.
Yeah, and you could buy like using this like sort of video game almost thing where you just like drag and drop sort of basically these like 3D structure things. It makes different sounds because of course she's making her audience musicians.
Amazing.
It's so accessible and she's such a pioneer.
It's cool because like I feel like there's not very many artists, or maybe she was like one of the first like really popular ones, I guess, maybe, but she really like made her music not just like music, she really made it into like a big project, and I think that's really like commendable. I think that like, and I'm like just literally on the Wikipedia page, but like she came out with like this edition that had a bunch of what's it called, tuning forks and stuff like that, and like she has this app, she like made all these music videos that like all seem to follow a same vein, and like it just seems like really, really like well planned out. Like it's a concept album beyond being an album, but like it's a concept like art piece.
I think that's crucial. I think that that shouldn't be like exceptional. I think that all musicians, like
that's a lot to ask for.
That is a lot to ask for, but I mean I'm definitely not asking that of like local musicians that also have to like have other jobs and things. But it's like if you're especially like a big build musician, you should have like an entire experience that isn't just like at your concerts or whatever. It should be a fully accessible concept.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other artists that have done stuff like that. What calls them, like what I can think of right now is like, I feel like Lady Gaga might be doing stuff like that. For some reason that brings, she comes to mind, but I don't know if she actually is.
She has good music videos. I think that's really, like the baseline you can ask for is a really interesting and inspiring and inspired music video. Mm. So my favorite songs from this beautiful, gorgeous album are Virus, but I also really like the song Moon because it's so beautiful and it touches my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one, 2015. We're really reaching to modern times. I love this album, Funicura. A lot of people felt like it was a big swerve from Biophilia, and it really is. It's definitely not nature-centric anymore. It's really a lot about her and her struggles and how her love life has affected her and all these things. I find that with Björk albums, and you can tell me what you think about this, but I find that she goes like one album will be really delicate and then the next one will be like brazenly frustrated and then the next one's like excited. You know, it's kind of like the, I don't know, like a case of just like a relationship flowing. Like you have the really delicate like recently, or like I don't know, like a relationship isn't working out or something, and then like, or maybe she's been broken up and it's really delicate, and then she's really frustrated and mad at the person, and then she's excited because she's found a new person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this album definitely takes like a story arc, I think, and it definitely reflects like her love life. I think she wrote this, or like released this after she had like a breakup or something. Her breakup album, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm also like not as familiar with this one as I am her like earlier stuff. Not to say that I don't like it. I just feel like this is definitely an album where like you have to listen to the whole thing from front to back.
Mm-hmm.
And like you have to like think about it while you're listening to it. It's like, it's not like really like, oh, I'm just gonna turn on Volnakira, or yeah.
Well, it's a lot more tribal, I think, than it might seem at first. I think there's a lot of really, there's a lot of, like, unconventional sort of aspects of it, which, of course, is, like, very Björk. But as you kind of start to hear it more and more, you can really start to find the drum patterns, and you find the beats within, and you love the guttural screams because those really grow on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this one is very human. Volnicura means cure for wounds in Latin. Fullness means wound, and Kira means cure, basically. And it just feels very human, and even the idea of, like, a wound is very human. And in the way that, you know, human skin gets broken. And our hearts get broken.
Sad.
And poor Bjork, I love her. Yeah, but this is when she's working with Arca, who is a producer, Argentinian producer, who's amazing. When I first tried to listen, it's been like a few months that I've like been trying to listen to Arca, but it just doesn't click. And it just recently clicked with me. And I'm like, oh my god, this guy's really onto something. You can hear him all over this album. And it just feels like Bjork and Arca get along so well, and they mesh really well. Which, you're not super familiar with this album, so I feel like...
Well, I mean, I'm not familiar with Arca either, that's the thing. But I imagine that this must have been a really interesting collaboration. I think that he's, like, a visual artist, isn't he, as well? Or am I, like,
I think
wrong?
So. His music videos are also astounding.
Oh, well, then that would make sense. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, this album also was released around the time that she had, like, this exhibition at the MoMA, I think, or something. It was, like, it speaks again to, like, her making this, like, an all-encompassing kind of, like, art form. I think that it was well-timed on purpose for that. So I feel like the exhibit at the MoMA must have had, like, to do in conjunction with her album.
What was the exhibit?
It was just an exhibit about, like, her career, like, her whole, like, life story and stuff.
Oh, I wish I was there.
Well, it was done on June 7th, 2015.
Oh,
I know,
I'll
so sad.
Go back in time, recreate it all. She also is the queen of 3D printed clothes in this album.
Oh, is that what's
in these music videos? Yeah, she wears, like, a bunch of plastic and a bunch of, like... And, like, the Not Get video is so inspiring.
Wow. So yeah. She's, like, really adopting, like, all of the new technologies.
She is an adopter.
Yeah, like, when the Biophilia, like, the app thing, and now she's doing 3D printing.
It's great. I mean, she's just on the cutting edge.
Yeah, what's up next for her? Because she's... We're going to talk about this soon, but, like... Actually, let's just talk about it then. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she just gets really abstract and futuristic and really comes into her own, but also is so modern, and it just really works for me. So my favorite song is Lion Song.
Love it. Me too.
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. It's simply the best song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... Because it's so sweet. She's just like... I could go on forever. I'm going to tone it back. I also really like Not Get.
Yeah, my favorite is Lion Song, and then my favorite.
Tintin's learning German,
I'm learning
everyone.
German. And then my second favorite is probably Stone Milker. Again, like, I'm very much, like, for this album, I've listened to it, like, in full a few times, but, like, I don't really, like, listen to single songs very often from it.
Honestly, like, thinking, like, it just kind of hit me going through all her discography, like, you can't pick a wrong song. You know, I mean, you can pick a wrong song, but, you know, from her, like, really good songs, if you pick any of them, you can't pick a wrong song. Mm-hmm. They're all great.
Yeah.
All her great songs are great.
God bless.
And that's the way it is.
So that was our brief tour of Bjork's current released discography.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a very well-timed episode, as she is releasing a new album very soon. What is it called, Kat?
It's called Utopia.
Wow.
I heard that she called it Utopia not in a way that it's like a perfect world, but in the way that it's like everyone's happy or something.
Hmm.
But the main point of it was, like, it isn't idealized. I actually don't know quite, but she's great. I don't know. We'll see it very clearly.
Yeah. This calls into question what kind of, like, wacky shit she's going to pull for this album, because, like, I mean, obviously Bjork is not one to be subtle, with, like, we were talking about, like, the apps and, like, all that stuff being released. I wonder what she's going to release in, like, supplement to this album.
I don't know if I'm just starting to really, really pay close attention to Bjork right now, but it seems like she's really stepping it up. Like, she's really owning the, like, icon status, and she's just getting more and more complex in the best way. Let's see. So what we do know is she's released the song The Gate and Blissing You already. And she released the music videos to them. We'll be talking about these new songs right when we get back from these breaks. You're listening to Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM.
The Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a two-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
Hey UBC, did you know that one car crash victim can need up to 50 blood donations to survive?
We're from the UBC Blood for Life Club that aims to diversify and expand Canada's stem cell and blood donor registry.
We hold drives across campus and we need you. Check us out at facebook.com/UBC Blood Club to learn more on how, when, and where you can save a life.
Hey, and welcome back. You're listening to the Bjork episode of Double Space, and we're talking about Bjork.
Yep.
Yeah,
we
love her. We just went through her discography and gave our thoughts, and we're going to talk about her latest release and do some speculations.
Okay, I could speculate.
Yeah, we'll speculate the hell out of this.
Okay, so yeah, we have the first song that she released off of her new album called The Gate. I think it was released in October sometime. Yeah, really good song. I feel like I don't like this one as much as Blissing You, but I still feel like it's pretty good. I really like the music video. It's really freaking whack.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like I run out of the right words to describe her. I'm like, yeah, it's just pretty whack. Like, I mean, it's pretty accurate sometimes, so.
I mean, I feel like it's very detailed and complex, especially considering the, like, digital editing that had to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially even looking at a lot of her music videos, none of them were as complex as this one.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, grandiose. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's really how The Gate felt, just grandiose. I mean, it starts with her sitting on, like, a field playing a flute, and the whole field and stuff has been rendered, and things are, like, swaying in the breeze. Like, it's just a big feat. And it's really beautiful. The album is being co-produced by Arca, which makes me really happy because Arca obviously was with Bjork during Volnakira, and he's the one that made the sound so great. And it kind of sounds like, from the way The Gate sounded, Arca is taking even more of a backseat in terms of producing really subtle background music, but it's still really engaging and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really finding their tune with each other.
Yeah.
The Gucci dress.
Bjork, let's talk about the Gucci dress.
Let's talk about the Gucci dress. So Bjork, if you are unaware, in The Gate is wearing a Gucci dress, which was made just for her. I'm sure there's totally just one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it'll be worn for this one occasion only.
And then burnt, so no one else wears it.
Exactly.
Simply. Nothing but the best for my queen.
True. I feel like it's one of those things where, like, I can't even begin to imagine the amount of time it took to construct this one garment for this one music video. This is, like, one time.
It would happen for no one else but Bjork. Like, maybe Beyonce if she wanted to.
Yeah, it's got, like, all these beautiful ruffles and, like, a lot of this really cool pleating and stuff. And I don't know what material this is made out of, but it looks like it's some kind of...
It looks like acetate.
Yeah,
like it's plastic acetate.
Yeah, and it's just like weird because it's like folded like so precariously. Like I'm sure like they counted exactly the correct number of folds, and like, yeah, it's just like so ornate.
I gotta say, I'm not crazy about the like little wing things on the shoulder.
Okay.
I feel like it's a little cheap, but the rest of it is just like gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually like pro the little like wing things. I think that they just like look like really, really intense shoulder pads to me.
Oh, is what I see
they remind
that.
Me of. But
I like them thinking of them in that way. I just feel like I like the concept of them, and I think they could have been executed better.
Yeah, that's fair.
If they were executed better, I would be all for them.
Yeah. I mean, this is not to say that this dress is not one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Gucci doesn't know what the hell they're doing. I should be in there and making a dress for Bjork.
I should be in the sewing room calling the shots.
Step aside from the sewing machine.
Look at how many like tiny pearls are on this thing, for real. Like,
it's amazing.
What? What? How? How is this humanly possible? Anyway, that's...
She looks like an angel.
Truly does.
That dress looks angelic.
Truly does.
I kind of thought like a bug at first when I wasn't really thinking about it, because I was like, oh, kind of like a translucent wing. But, I mean, you look at the whole dress and she looks like an angel.
And it's got like this really long train. It's crazy.
It's just really, really grandiose. So something that needs to be discussed is the phantom that she like has sex with.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah, I feel like sex as kind of an undercurrent has always been prevalent in Bjork, especially like the countless masks that look like vaginas. It's like it's a very Bjork move, but it's weird to see this, like, she's like very explicitly sexing this phantom.
Sexing the phantom.
Like, it's kind of like implied at first when they're throwing the like light orb back and forth, but there's one point where they're literally humping each other.
I mean, if you've seen like some of the promo photos for this, she's wearing like strap-ons and stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh yeah, I have.
Yeah, so I feel like this is a very like overtly like sexual album. I think mm-hmm. she's trying to go for that this time. And I think that it's interesting because like when I think of Bjork, I don't really think of like a particularly sexual like creature.
Yeah.
Creature is the right word. I feel like this is the first time she's really like given more into that. And I feel like she's like more cute, if anything, when I do think of Bjork, like cute and weird. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really like interesting one. Maybe it's like a more sex positive like kind of album. I remember reading somewhere that this was like her Tinder album. If her last album was like her breakup one, this is like her dating one or something.
Oh yeah, I heard that too.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like she's always dealt with sex and things like that. Especially like just looking at some of her lyrics. I mean, I guess maybe it's in these later albums, but she just like very, like if you look a little bit under the surface, she's very blatantly talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of don't like that she's being so blatant about it, that she's literally like humping this phantom.
Humping?
It's like a little extra, but I mean, if anyone can get away with it, it's Bjork.
Yeah.
Quite
simply. She gets the pass on this one.
Yeah. And also the 3D printed, or not the 3D printed, the 3D computer models are very Arca inspired.
Okay, I take your word for it. I don't know much about Arca, but...
Again, more about Arca.
Yeah, I trust you. So the next album, or not the next song that she's released is called Blissing You. This is the second single on Utopia. I like this one better than The Gate, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very sweet song, like, listening to the lyrics and stuff, it's very pure. It's about, like, these two lovers that are, like, falling in love to some song or, like, the same song.
Yeah. Or they're, like, texting back and forth.
Yeah, it's very, like, innocent.
Which, like, it was kind of odd for me to, like, hear a Bjork song and then, like, hear, like, explicit technology. Like, hearing, like, MP3. I don't know, it was so weird to, like, listen to a song and hear an artist, like, say, like, listening to an MP3. Because I feel like no one really talks about technology in songs that explicitly.
It's pretty meta, bro, because you're listening to an MP3 while she's talking about an MP3.
Yeah, if you were, like, texting someone music back and forth and were listening to this, you'd be like, whoa.
It's about me.
Well, it's just kind of interesting because, like, I can imagine that there's some people that would actually, like, I don't know, have that, this is, like, their one song, or, like, this is their song or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's really cute. Yeah. It really grew on me a lot. It always grows on you.
I like the strings in this song, too. I just, like, have a thing for harp and stuff.
Ugh, yeah. She really rocks the harp. You'd love Biophilia.
I'm ready. I love the harp. I'm ready. I just, like, never listened to it for some reason.
I also feel like we all need to listen to more Bjork. Like, it never ends, you know? It's always a game of catch-up. And even if you've listened a million times, you probably missed something that someone else picked up.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like, there's a lot to listen to. And, like, there's just so much, like, layering and stuff that I feel like you can never really, like, understand entirely what's going on. Like, it's not so straightforward. Like, it's not just, like, a guitar and, like, drums and, like, bass and stuff. It's, like, really ornate.
Or she, like, sampled someone's, like, dog.
Yeah, or, like, something. Like, she did the thing with, like, the Tesla coil. She, like, sampled, like, electric, like, static or something like that.
She does what she wants.
Yeah. Fuck it up.
Yeah, truly. I love her shoes in the Blissing You video.
They're bright yellow.
They're bright yellow. They're platforms. They're everything I want in a shoe. The lyrics are grounded. She looks like an alien. The outfit's fun.
Oh, yeah. In the music video, she also has this really cool, like, haircut going on. And I, like, I'm in awe and I'm envious. She's got this really cool, like, undercut. And then there's a part of her undercut that's, like, shaved, like, to the neck. And then there's, like, this red part in there. So it's, like, she's got, like, an undercut, but, like, a second undercut. It's really cool. I love her.
We love her.
Yeah. She's definitely the queen of looks, if anything. If not just her incredibly talented, you know, musical
ability
and, like, critical eye and stuff. She's, if anything, just, like, a look icon.
Yeah. Really, truly. Listen to Utopia and I love it. My favorite song is Tabula Rasa. It's very, the album itself is very orchestral and sort of an interesting move for Bjork, and I feel like she's really growing, which is nice to see. It feels like sort of furthering some ideas that she had been working on in other albums and continuing them further. I wouldn't say it's my favorite album, but it is one of my favorite Bjork albums. And that's all I have to say, so see you later.
night lying down. The world is listening.